I want to invite you this morning to take your copy of God's Word and open it to 1 John chapter 4. We won't have any children's worship this morning. We'll all be in 1 John chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 6. And I want us to consider this topic this morning, discerning the voice of Jesus in a world of counterfeits. Discerning the voice of Jesus in a world of counterfeits. And I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 here in just a moment. But again, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of our ladies. I think there is something very important that we can learn from moms in the special relationship that they have with their kids. You're probably aware of this, but in all creation, moms seem to have a distinctive voice. Right? I've been listening to these birds that, despite my best efforts, have nested right on my front porch. And they've been calling out to their mom, and she's been coming to them night and day for a couple of weeks now. I remember when I was young, my mom, it wasn't necessarily her voice, but she could whistle, it felt like, across the county, and I knew it was time to come home or else. There was a distinctiveness about that. Right? There was an article recently in Parenting Magazine that noted an interesting study from Columbia University. And the article said, by the time they're born, babies can actually recognize their mother's voice. In one study, doctors gave day-old infants pacifiers that were connected to tape recorders. Depending on the baby's sucking patterns, the pacifiers either turned on a tape of their mother's voice or that of an unfamiliar woman's voice. The amazing result? Within 10 to 20 minutes, the babies learned to adjust their sucking rate on the pacifier to turn on their own mother's voice. Does that surprise you? I mean, God has just created babies to be attuned to know their mother's voice and to recognize it. And so the researcher in the article, he said, this points out a newborn's innate love for his mother's voice. And I suppose that makes sense. The voice that gave birth to you physically is one that you recognize, and it's one that you desire. Can I make a subtle little connection here and say, not only the voice that gave birth to you physically is desirable, but the voice that gives birth to us spiritually should be recognizable and should be desirable in our hearts. In other words, this is exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, when he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They recognize it. They hear my voice, and they know it. Other shepherds can come, and they can cry out. They can call out to the sheep, but the sheep know Jesus' voice. They know it, and they follow him. Church, we desperately need to discern the voice of Jesus today. There's just so much noise. There's so much noise all around us. All kinds of competing counterfeits out there. Now, sometimes we have to be real careful because sometimes we want to hear the voice of Jesus so bad. We want to know that we're hearing something special from Jesus that we'll just believe anything. We've been listening to that on Sunday evenings. We'll just believe anything because we want to hear from Jesus so badly. But then, on the other hand, there are some who haven't listened to Jesus in so long, they've kind of forgotten what he sounds like. They're having a hard time recognizing the voice, even when they hear it. But let's remember this morning, our Lord has spoken through his word. He's spoken loudly, he's spoken boldly, he's spoken throughout the ages through his word. And now he continues to speak through those who are called to go out and preach the word of God. Not because we preach some new revelation or some new message that wasn't there before, but it's sort of in the words of 2 Timothy 2, rightly handling the word of truth. And that's certainly what we want to do this morning. And so listen as I read this passage in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John writes this. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you have given us your spirit to help us constantly discern your voice, to discern the voice of Jesus in the world of counterfeits. And Father, we pray this morning that you would give us ears to hear, that you would help us to hear your voice in what is proclaimed today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Four ways this morning, four ways to discern the voice of Jesus in a world of counterfeits that I want us to see. The first thing I want you to notice is we need to examine the spirit of the message. Examine the spirit of the message. There's a lot that's being said out there. There's a lot that is proclaimed in the name of Jesus that simply does not come from Jesus, and we need to examine the spirit of the message. John tells us right away, you can't believe every spirit. Some are out to deceive. They want to trick you. They want to lead you down a different path. They want to lead you astray. They want to confuse you, render you ineffective for kingdom purposes. This is the purpose of the spirits out there. So what do we do? Verse 1 says, test them. Test the spirits. See what spirit is behind that message. If you'll do this, you'll know whether or not that message is from God. And how do we know this? Well, there's only one Holy Spirit. Anything else, anything that does not come from the Holy Spirit, that is not being empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is a message that comes from an evil spirit, that comes from a deceptive spirit, and they're behind the false teachers of our age. And so we need to examine the spirits because, listen, false teachers are abundant. False teachers are abundant. They won't tell you that they're false. They don't go around just wearing a name tag that says false teacher. It would be nice if they would, but they don't. And listen, not only do they not tell you they're false, they won't admit the spirit behind their teaching. Maybe a lot of times because they don't know it themselves. They don't know that they themselves are being deceived as they deceive other people as well. You see, that's what Satan does. He desires to deceive us. But listen, followers of Christ, we shouldn't be naive. We shouldn't be fooled. There are ways to discern the spirit that is guiding a message or a teacher. We'll look at those in just a moment. If the teacher isn't led by God's spirit, the only alternative is there is an evil spirit behind that message, because it will not lead us to glorify Christ. And if it doesn't lead us to glorify Christ, it is not from the Spirit of Christ. And so, in that case, these false teachers, they're not poor misguided souls. They're destructive. You see, false teachers are abundant, but false messages are destructive. They do damage. It isn't just you believe your thing, I'll believe my thing, and it'll be okay. We'll just all kind of coexist and just get along together. No, these are destructive messages. Make no mistake, false teachers, they always have a message, but their message isn't from God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're told that false messages that are not from the Spirit of God lead to a spirit of idolatry. They lead us to worship something other than Jesus. Folks, it could be us that we end up worshiping. They lead us to worship something other than Jesus. And we have to be real careful in discerning. Deuteronomy chapter 13 warns about false teachers who even go around doing these special signs. And it's somehow validating their ministry. And what God warns his people about in Deuteronomy 13 is, he says, these signs are not the ultimate test. They're not the full test. He says, listen to what they say. Don't just look at what they do. Listen to what they say. The church, here in our day, we need to listen to what people are saying. We need to listen closely. We need to listen discerningly. Just because somebody has published a book doesn't mean that message is from the Lord. Just because they have jets and mansions and a huge following doesn't mean the preacher has God's Spirit. Just because they have a pulpit in which to preach doesn't prove the truthfulness of their message. And just because they have so-called miracles, they're not proof of the legitimacy of the message. Appearances might deceive. And so we have to make sure that we're testing, we're examining the spirits. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Look, secondly, examine the confession of the message. Examine the confession of the message. Confessions are important. I hear so much chatter out there about people not wanting to be confessional people. We're not a confessional people. We don't worship statements of faith or anything like that. We just worship Jesus as if people are actually worshiping statements of faith. Listen, confessions are important. Confessions are helpful. They tell us what we believe. They tell us what other people believe when they can kind of distill down to a simple confession what they believe. What do they believe about Jesus? If somebody were to come up to you and were anti-confession, were anti any kind of distilled statements of faith, and somebody comes up to us and says, well, what do you believe about salvation? What is it you believe about the church? What does Scripture say about the church? Our answers are going to be, and that really doesn't help anybody, does it? Doesn't help anybody. These confessions are important. What do you believe? What do you believe? Spirits are discerned by what they confess. What are they confessing? And we must accept or reject a spirit based on that doctrine test. Here in 1 John 4, the doctrine test is, what are they saying about Jesus? You see, faithful messages, they tell us the truth about Jesus and the gospel. Now, if you were in a courtroom this morning, or maybe Monday morning, you're in a courtroom, you're probably going to hear at some point somebody getting ready to testify, and they're going to be asked the question, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? They still do that? I think they still do that. You want people to tell the truth, right? But it's not, this might seem a little bit redundant, all of these three questions in there together, but it's not. It's really asking three very important questions. One is, will you speak the truth rather than lies? Will you actually tell us what is real rather than what is worldly, rather than what is not real? The second question, will you speak all of the truth, not leave out the hard truths? Will you speak all of the truth, not leave out things like sin and the cross and suffering? If you want to build great numbers in a church, leave those things out. If you want to build godly followers of Jesus, we have to incorporate the hard truths as well. Will you speak all of the truth? And that third question is, will you speak only the truth? And not mix into that any conjectures of our own, any sort of wisdom that we might want to add to the Word of God. Church, we don't need God's Word watered down with so-called worldly wisdom. We don't need God's Word mixed with our cleverness, because our cleverness begins to drown out the truth of the gospel. And when that happens, we're in a dangerous situation. Holy Spirit-filled messages, they tell the truth about Jesus and the gospel, even if it's hard truths. On the other side, though, false messages, they deny the truth about Jesus in the gospel. Oh, they might be eloquent speakers. They might be gifted speakers, and they might attract a huge following. They might tell the best stories and quote the most incredible scripture verses out of context. But their doctrine is wrong. And when our doctrine is wrong, we're wrong and we're dangerous. Verse 3 says, this is the spirit of Antichrist. In other words, the person and the message they proclaim is anti the gospel of Jesus Christ. These people have been present in every age, and they have a wrong confession. And we have to be willing. We have to be ready. We have to be equipped. We have to be prepared to discern false from true messages. I know it's often said, but it bears repeating this morning, we need to have the discipline of those Bereans in Acts 17:11. When they received the word of God with all eagerness, they were examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. This is a great message. Thank you for coming and sharing it with us. But let me open my copy of God's word and see if these things are so. A personality doesn't prove the authenticity of a message. The word of God proves the authenticity of a message. So we need to pray for wisdom. And we need to study God's word and examine the confession. So number two is examine the confession of the message. But thirdly this morning, we need to examine the source of the message. Examine the source of the message. John is trying to encourage the church, believe it or not. He's not trying to make everybody out to be a false teacher. He's not trying to make everybody out to be a false disciple. He's trying to encourage the church by telling them, here's what you need to look for. Here's what you need to be watching out for. He loves these people. He calls them beloved in verse 1. In verse 4, he calls them my little children. He has a deep love for these people, and he doesn't want them to be led astray. He doesn't want them to wander off into false teaching. He doesn't want to scare them, but he wants them to know the truth. And so he wants to help them properly discern truth from lies by examining the source. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? You see, faithful messages are from God. That seems simple, right? Faithful messages are from God. John says to believers in verse 4, he says, you are from God. Meaning you're not from the world. You're no longer a part of the world in the sense of being worldly. He says, you have overcome them, the spirits of falsehood. Now, how do we overcome them? By being smarter, wiser than everybody else? No, that's not what he's saying here. In verse 4, he continues. He says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So in other words, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, right? The Spirit of Christ is dwelling in you, and if he's working in you, and he's sanctifying you to make you more like Jesus, if we're daily being filled with the Spirit of Jesus, then we're going to be able to discern the voice of Jesus. We're going to be able to discern the source of a message. We'll be able to sense the Spirit behind the teacher, behind the message, behind the ministry. Faithful messages, they come from God. They sound like him. And if we've been born again, if we've been born in Christ, we're now in Christ, we recognize that voice. We know the source, and we'll pattern our lives to hear that voice. Faithful messages are from God, but listen, false messages are from the world. It's interesting there in verse 5, John uses the word world three times. Three times in reference to false teachers and false messages. He says at the beginning, he says, they, these false teachers, they are from the world. Meaning, they act like the world, they talk like the world, they have the value system of the world. If you go out and look at the lost world around us, and you go look at these false teachers, you're like, I don't see much difference. They just look too much alike. He says they're from the world. And he goes on to say they speak from the world. In other words, worldly ideas fill their messages. They don't point us toward loving and following and serving and sacrificing for the Lord. They point us toward loving and serving and sacrificing for me, for self. That's what the world teaches us. So here's a little test. Here's a little takeaway for you. If you can hear the same message in any best-selling self-help book, or you can hear the same message by some secular motivational speaker, The teacher you're listening to is probably not from God, but from the world. Our message is different because it has a different source. It comes from a different God, not the God of this world, but the God who created this world. John goes on to say the world listens to them. The world listens. Several years ago, Larry King did an interview with a well-known false teacher, and he was asking about people of other religions going to heaven. And he said, if you believe you have to believe in Christ, then they're wrong, aren't they? And here's how this particular person responded. He said, well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I mean, I believe there's what the Bible teaches, and from the Christian faith, that is what I believe. But I just think that only God will judge a person's heart. I spent a lot of time in India with my father. I don't know all about their religion, but I know they love God. And I don't know. I've seen their sincerity, so I don't know. And what I took away from this interview is, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. It was over and over and over in this particular interview. Listen, false teachers speak from the world what the world wants to hear, and they leave out the rest. Is everybody going to heaven? Well, I don't know. Will sin really separate me from God? Well, I don't know. Just try to be the best version of you. Right? Does Jesus really demand that I sacrifice, that I take up my cross daily and follow him? Well, I don't know. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to take up your cross? Well, I guess I got to get up and go to work on Monday morning. That could be taking up my cross. We interpret it any way we want. Whatever sounds good. The world listens to them. False teachers speak what the world wants to hear. And listen, the world wants to hear all about our happiness. They want to hear all about wealth. They want to hear all about prosperity and all about health and all about healing. And it's no surprise that the prosperity message is everywhere in our world, and we export it all over the world. The world wants to hear a low expectation religion that is led by a low expectation Jesus. And so it's no surprise that so many churches are just removing the hard truths of Scripture. Hey, Jesus just wants you to be happy and, you know, love people. What does it mean to love? I don't know. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? Low expectation, Jesus. Low expectation, religion. Listen, false messages sound like the world for a reason. They're from the world. They come from the world. In church, we must discern the truth by listening to the voice of God above all the chatter, above all the chaos, above all the noise, no matter how many people are following after the noise. When we hear that voice, or we hear that voice when we fourthly examine the consistency of the message. Examine the consistency of the message. Notice what John says in verse 6 here in 1 John chapter 4. He says, this sounds kind of bold. Listen to it. He says to the church here, we are from God. Whoever knows God, they listen to us. And whoever is not from God does not listen to us. That's kind of a bold statement, isn't it? You know, Oliver Thomas, there was an article 2 weeks ago in USA Today, and most days I try to read, flip through articles and see if there's anything worth reading in USA Today. And I came across this article, and I thought, I've got to read this. He's a retired pastor. He's quite well known in the country, and this was 2 weeks ago he wrote this article. And in the article, he was lamenting the fact that churches are taking the Bible too seriously, and they're killing themselves in the process. I mean, if you just quit taking the Bible seriously, you can grow a church, right? So in the article, he said, here's the corner that we've painted ourselves into. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. I mean, who would believe that? Who would be so unenlightened to believe that? Maybe back in the old days, maybe back in the Middle Ages, we would believe nonsense like that, right? Well, he goes on. It tells us that reason and experience, they trump Scripture because we know better today. We're more learned today. We have more intelligence today. And then he makes his point clear at the end of the article when he says this. He said, it's difficult to watch good people and the churches are full of them, buy into the sincere but misguided notion that being a faithful Christian means accepting everything the Bible teaches. I want to be crystal clear this morning. Being a faithful Christian absolutely means accepting everything the Bible teaches. Accepting it in its right context, not misinterpreting. Accepting it as it was intended by Jesus or by whoever wrote it. It all comes from the Spirit of Christ. But if we're going to be faithful Christians, we have no other source, no other authority than the Word of God. What would make us a Christian if we didn't stand on the Word of God? When I was a kid, I thought those, I don't know if you remember those, I thought those Choose Your Own Adventure books were pretty cool. Right? Do you remember those? I used to check them out from the library, and it's like, what do you want to do at this point? I think I'll go this direction. What do you want to do here? I'll go this way. You know what? The Christian life is not a choose-your-own-adventure. It's a follow-after-Jesus adventure. And we only know that through believing and accepting and standing firm on what the Bible teaches. Oh, church, we need discernment in our day of constant challenges to the truth. You see, on the one hand, we see false messages, they contradict Scripture. Maybe it's out of pride. Maybe it's out of selfishness. Maybe it's out of ignorance or a rebellious heart. But nonetheless, the problem is a spiritual one. These false teachers are not led by the Holy Spirit. They follow after, John says, the spirit of error, because they don't have the spirit of truth. They can't possibly have the spirit of truth. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us explicitly the natural person, the unbeliever, the person who's not following God, they don't accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're folly to him. Why? He's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. They're Holy Spirit discerned. It's Holy Spirit given. If the false teacher doesn't understand the truth of Scripture, they certainly can't teach it. On one hand, false messages contradict Scripture. On the other hand, faithful messages, they agree with Scripture. They agree with Scripture. You can weigh it up against Scripture all day long, and it will be consistent. It will agree with Scripture. Now, as I said a moment ago, we have to confess, John's statement in verse 6 seems awfully bold when he says, whoever knows God listens to us. But what he's not saying is, whoever knows God, they listen to us blindly. Whatever we say goes. It doesn't matter what Scripture says. That's not the point that he's making. The point is, faithful teachers like John, they're not going to contradict Scripture. They're not going to preach messages. They're not going to write books. They're not going to make proclamations that are going to contradict the Word of God. No, on the other hand, they're going to submit to the Word of God. And they're going to proclaim boldly the Word of God. And let me just add, they're going to proclaim all of the Word of God. Not just the popular, easy parts, but even the hard truths. The conclusion is this: true believers are going to recognize the truth in the message, and they're going to submit to it as well when it comes from Scripture, when it agrees, when it concurs with what Scripture teaches. Why is this the case? It's what I said at the very beginning, quoting Jesus. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They hear my voice. They know my voice. They can pick it out amongst all the other voices that are speaking out there. They know my voice, and they follow me. Church, we need to ask a very important question this morning. And when I say we, I mean each of us in our hearts. The question is, am I listening to, am I following the voice of Jesus today? Are you following the voice of Jesus? Let's commit to be faithful and true in what we accept and what we believe as true out there. Does it rightly confess Christ and the gospel? Does it glorify Christ or does it glorify me? Does it clash with the world's teaching? Hey, probably if it clashes with the world's teaching, if the world around us doesn't like it, it's more likely to be true. That's just the way it works today. Ask yourself, is it consistent with the whole of Scripture? Is the message consistent with what Scripture teaches. In a world full of counterfeit gospels and counterfeit Jesuses, let's seek discernment to faithfully follow Christ. Because what we believe matters. That we believe rightly matters. And it could be this morning that maybe you're here and you're not real sure what you believe. If somebody asked you, what do you believe about salvation? What do you believe about the gospel and what Jesus did on behalf of sinners? Maybe you don't have a good answer for that. Can I plead with you this morning that you would not leave this place before you know for sure what Jesus has done for sinners? And before in your heart, you make a decision to follow after Him. To begin that journey of discernment, to begin that journey of standing on the authority of Jesus' truth, the truth of the Word. Jesus tells us in His Word, if we'll repent, which is a fancy way of saying, if we'll turn away from our sin and turn toward Christ, believing what He has done, dying on the cross in our place, taking our sin upon Him and giving us His perfect righteousness, if we'll do that, Scripture says, we can have eternal life. We can have life with Christ forevermore. Let me plead with you this morning. Don't leave here. Please don't leave here before you know that you know Christ and you're following Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for the power of Your Word and for the way that it challenges us, for the way that it convicts us. Father, we thank You for giving us Your Spirit, because Your Spirit, yes, helps us to see the truth of the gospel for salvation. But Your Spirit continues to work in our lives to help us discern the voice of Jesus amongst all others so we can follow hard after Him. Father, help us to be faithful. Lord, I pray that as we get ready to sing one more song of praise to You, that You would work in each of our hearts. And I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who needs to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would be bold enough to maybe it's step out of the aisle as we sing and come up to the front and just say, I need to know Jesus. Maybe they need to pull somebody aside that's sitting beside them and tell them the same thing. Father, however that needs to happen, I pray that You'd give boldness, give courage, and give them Your Holy Spirit that they might respond to Your truth. Father, we commit this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.